Welcome to Ag Matters, covering positive agriculture stories from across Alaska with your host, Amy Pettit of the Alaska Farmland Trust.
And good morning to my lovely guest, Margaret.
Thanks, Amy, for having me.
Margaret Adsit joins me in the studio here this morning, and we are going to talk about Margaret's little business, Alaska Farm Tours. I'm so excited to ask you a bunch of questions about that. But before we do that, I've kind of gotten into this pattern of pulling out a little bit of background information from my guests as we get started. So do us a favor, Margaret, and talk to us a little bit about you, your background, your history, what brought you to Alaska, why you care about agriculture, et cetera.
Okay. So background history. So I grew up in Southeast Wisconsin.
Yay.
On a 2,000 acre row crop farm.
Okay.
Which is essentially a grain farm for people who don't know the term row crop.
So not corn and soybeans?
No. Corn, soybeans, wheat.
Okay.
And now radishes. But so I grew up FFA, 4-H, raised beef cattle. That was my big thing.
Nice.
And I decided to go to college and thought to myself, I'll never do farming again. Or, you know, I did that. That was my first career. And so I don't really need to do that anymore. Went to a big named school. We don't have to name that here.
No, you
no.
don't. But you can. It's up to you.
So, no, I went to Chicago, went to Northwestern, and pursued journalism. And then found myself back up here on an internship and fell in love with Alaska. I mean, who doesn't?
Right.
And they warned me my first summer. They said it will either stick to you or it won't. And unfortunately, it stuck. And
unfortunately for your family back in
Wisconsin, unfortunately,
right?
For my family, it stuck. My mom just thought it was a passing whim,
kind
of like when I decided to tuck my dresses into my pants, like passing whim, like it's she'll get through this. And 10 years later, I still haven't gotten through it. So I came up here in an internship, met my now husband. He was volunteer for them, and that sort of stuck too. So that was and multiple sticking points.
Yeah.
And then eventually ended up at the Alaska Farmland Trust as a program director.
You did, yeah.
I know. You know about the Alaska Farmland Trust, right?
A little bit, yeah.
Okay, yeah.
I'm learning every day, more and more.
So I stayed with them for 3 years and fell in love with the agricultural community, and they became kind of my second family. I loved working with farmers and found the eclectic, innovative, amazing group of people that makes up the agricultural community. So vivacious. And
yeah.
I stuck with it because of who they were and
right.
how I could help them. And eventually left the Alaska Farmland Trust and decided I wanted to be a baker for a little bit. Did that.
Good.
And
it's good to broaden your resume a little bit, you know, try different things.
And did event planning, from which I helped out the Farm Bureau to do their annual tour. And that really was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
And coupled with the fact that my dad came up here and as a farmer, he wanted to go see farms. And I was like, okay, Dad, let me just call a couple of people. And knowing the demographic of a lot of Alaskan tourists, I realized that's a thing. Like, there's a lot of farmers or people from farming backgrounds that want to come up here and want to see farms.
Right.
And you can see the muskox farm and the reindeer farm, which are good demonstrations of odd animals to
sure.
see, but actually understanding what is the agricultural community in Alaska? How does it work? How do people grow things?
Right.
How do they get those giant vegetables, which we don't really address on our tours? And from that, the Alaska Farm Tours was born.
Wow. Yeah. I love it. I would concur with everything that you said, being an outsider also. And I think that anyone who gets a little taste of Alaskan farmers has an instant appreciation for what they do. But I think you and I would share this, that when you actually come from farmers too, when you come from agricultural livelihood and then you come up here to Alaska, there's this so much more appreciation and respect for the work that they do in this state, because holy buckets, it's mm-hmm.
it's a lot more work. And you're meeting first generation landowners. So
right.
I, you know, the family farm that we have is 120 years old in Wisconsin, right?
Yeah, mine, I would be fifth generation on mine in Oregon. Mm-hmm.
So people, like, I didn't have any concept of what it took to open up land.
No.
I mean, I pulled stumps on a couple of properties as a kid, but the whole process of clearing, of, you know, burning off their properties, of pulling sticks.
Of not just being able to call dad or grandpa and say, hey, in the southwest corner, what did you grow? You know,
yeah, I mean, or like, what's with this hollow spot or
spring whatever. Or whatever.
They
it
had
is.
To discover all of that.
Yeah.
And Carol Kinley, who you know, yep. She told me the best story of it. As a kid, she would spend her summers picking up sticks.
Oh, yeah.
And she abhorred it by the end. Like, don't ever ask her to pick up sticks,
oh my
kind
gosh.
Of thing, because that's how she spent her childhood.
Yeah, my husband as well, and the Pettit progeny. I mean, mm-hmm. picking rocks and picking sticks that makes their blood boil. They mm-hmm. don't want to spend weekends on the farm because of that.
Yeah, exactly, because that was a thing.
Right, right.
As
Which
a frontier farmer kid,
that in the lower 48, there's like machinery that does that. People mm-hmm. don't even do it by hand. But
yeah,
anyway,
so. Based on that kind of concept of frontier farming, what that means, and talking to people or visitors about the farms that they're going to, most of these folks are the ones that cleared their lands,
right?
And they're the ones that developed the soils and all of their systems. So that innovation that lends itself to you is a really great story.
Absolutely.
And people are fascinated by what farmers have accomplished.
Absolutely. And so getting back to the farm tours and when you were first helping the Farm Bureau with their farm tours, I can remember the Division of Ag, we were a little bit involved in that as well when I worked there. And the farm tour would sell out like immediately. You guys would announce it and the calls would come running in. And then, and we were kind of going, hey, there might be something to this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I was just going to say, so we were so glad when you decided to launch Alaska Farm Tours, because it gave us a place to point people. Because mm-hmm. just like you were saying, when your dad came to visit and you couldn't just send him on a tour, you had to take him on the tour. Mm-hmm. And at the Division of Agriculture, we used to get those kinds of calls all the time, from tour buses to just a family of people that wanted to see farms. And you'd kind of go, oh, well, like you said, the muskox farm, the reindeer farm, mm-hmm. maybe go down to the Alaska Wildlife Conservation, you know?
Mm-hmm. But, yeah, all big animal
yeah.
kind
yep.
of conversation.
Yep.
So, yeah, it's been, you know, it's only its second year.
Right.
It's still my toddler.
Yeah.
No, it still needs lots of love. And I learned a lot about the tourism industry in Alaska, it's a different world. It's
sure.
has nothing to do with agriculture.
No.
Fascinating. So that's very interesting about how all of those systems work. And, you know, most of the big tour companies, they book out 2.5 to 3 years in advance.
Wow.
You know, in terms of putting their packages together.
Yeah. So, well, yeah, you think about it. I mean, people in the lower 48 probably plan for not their lives, but for a long time, coming to Alaska is like mm-hmm. a bucket list item, right?
Yep, yeah. Precisely.
And so then they save up money and then they plan for it, yeah.
And they're having those conversations with those big booking
sure.
entities.
Sure.
So the other reason why I started Alaska Farm Tours is I wanted to prove the example, right? Like, I wanted to help show what tourism could do for farms
right.
and having another form of income generated for farm income, just to weather the bad years and make it something that they could invest some time in.
Right.
Or doing other value-added businesses on the farm. You know, on the East Coast, there's a lot of corn mazes. And here, I see a lot of potential for folks to do one-off things, whether they have a trail ride or, you know, that they do sort of a dig day or like what Pyra's U-Pick does, which is, you know, pick your own. There's so many options for getting out and educating your consumer and or bringing people in to again, weather those bad years or just provide a little bit extra income.
And I read this line in this book the other day and I highlighted it and have reread it so many times. Like, and when they come to the farm, give them lots of opportunities to spend money. They want to buy your things. Give them the opportunity to buy your things, right?
Mm-hmm. And we try to have at least one stop on the tour where they can purchase things.
Okay.
You know, in support of Alaska Grown, you
sure.
know, having your dollars count or stretching those dollars further. And that's, they really love that. The the folks that come up here.
Yeah. I won't name names because that wouldn't be fair, but I do know of an Alaskan business who is tied 100% to the tourism industry. And the owner declared once that his gate entrance fees compared to what he sells in the gift shop is incomparable. Like the dollars spent in the gift shop are what pay the mortgage. Mm-hmm. And if more people would just realize that once they're on your farm, you know, let them buy your jam or let them buy a t-shirt with your farm's name on it or let them give you their money because they would, you know, they would like to do that. Would you agree with that?
I would. Yes. Yeah. Yes. Tourists really love having something to take away.
A little memento.
Mm-hmm. Something that tells a story and can pass that story along to someone else.
Yeah.
And that's why people travel in a large part is story collecting.
Absolutely.
And so yeah, if you can give them that memento to take along with them, it adds so much more to their experience.
Of course, it's a whole nother piece of business that needs to be well thought out and planned.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep. Most definitely.
Don't just start, you know, jarring up your jelly and we need to talk about all those things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
Permits and labeling and all those things, but it is something for folks to consider. So let's jump into some of the details about Alaska Farm Tours.
So how does it work? Yeah. How does it work? So we take folks out to three farms. So it's a 4-hour tour. We start out at the Palmer Museum, and just in case we don't see something grown, the Palmer Museum and the master gardeners over there do a beautiful job having a display of everything that grows in Alaska. And so we talk about the different climates and why things grow. And they even have high altitude gardens. And so we walk through that. We sort of start in the downtown Palmer, talk about the history of the colony project.
Oh, very good.
And we do an imagining session of what it would have looked like.
Oh, sure.
In 1935, and you know, where was the tent city, and you know, what were those colonists facing, and then I try to put a colony farm first,
okay,
just to continue that story forward, and so then we'll go to three different farms. On the last farm, we have lunch sit and have try to have an Alaskan grown lunch. That's hard early on in the season,
sure.
But with the folks that I cater with, I try to have at least 30% or 40% of the meal come from Alaska. And we sit and enjoy. Now, a couple caveats to that is farmers are not required to be there when we do the tour. And I did that because we have such a short growing season.
Right.
They don't have the time to sort of sit in kibitz.
Yeah.
And that really was appealing for the farms.
I'm
because
sure.
They didn't have, most farms don't have the staff capacity to manage people. And I don't promise that to folks. I'm like, maybe we'll see a farmer in passing, but.
The elusive Alaska farmer.
Yeah.
You're lucky.
There it is. Get your binoculars out. And sometimes if they have time, they'll come and sit or tell a story or two.
Sure.
Or it depends. Some of the farmers are much more eager and are really great advocates for their farm.
Yeah.
Other times they're just like, I don't have time. I'm so sorry.
But the great news is that even if the farmer can't be there, you have been around now in Alaska for a decade. You've built relationships with these people and you know about the property. So
you can answer
the questions.
We're right now in our script development. So we sit down with the farmers. We ask, what are you growing this year? What has changed about the farm in the past year? What's special that you're trying out? Most farms will have one thing where they're like, well, we're trying to grow blank. And you're like, really? Why are you doing that? And one farmer last year who was trying to grow sweet potatoes.
Oh, yeah.
You know? And I was like, well, let's see how that works out over the summer. And really cool things like that. So we sat down with each of the farm families and wrote out the script of the whole history of the farm.
Nice.
So it's not like we're going in and we're like, I think that's tomatoes. Like, no. We know what's happening on those farms.
Good. Good, good. So can you talk about the farms? Can you talk specifically about the farms that are on the tour this year for 2017?
Yep. So we currently we've got six. I've got six more to call. I'm sure they'll be involved. So we go to Spring Creek Farm. That's the APU farm up north. They're an organic, small-scale organic farm. We have Arctic Organics in that same theme, owned by Saren River Bean. And we also go to Juice, Jelly, and Jam down Berberick's farm. Michelle Church and David Church own Moonstone Farm. That's another organic farm.
Yep.
Juice, Jelly, and Jam is a fruit farm,
yep,
which people love. And Don's a great storyteller. So oftentimes I'm like, Don, we got to go. He's one of those that loves being on the farm and talking about currants and the like. We've got the, my brain is now running blank, Carol Kinley.
Sure.
And she's always like, I don't know, Margaret, there's not much to see here.
Oh,
and I'm like, Carol, I think you're out of context. You have such cool things.
Absolutely.
Like she has lovely greenhouses that just a walk through is a magical experience.
Plus a beautiful family story. Of, mm-hmm. You know, she's second generation and
having her tell the story. She's usually a very busy person. So we're lucky when we can spy her.
Yeah.
The Bushes and Bunches.
Oh yeah.
And that's great because they have a store on site. And he's the rhubarb king, so we talk about the weed that's called rhubarb and how he freezes it, and you can bulk sell. And I'm forgetting who my other farms are. Sunderland Ranch.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Which is an elk farm and horse ranch and a dude ranch and a cattle operation.
Very cool.
So they've got cool things happening up there. And, you know, I designed it so there's systems, right? So there's the Springer system.
Sure.
And the Farm Loop system, the Butte system, and then Lazy Mountain system. And I did that, one, to limit the amount of time people are in the vehicle, but also, two, to show distinctly that there is, even in this small area, kind of regionalized farming.
Sure, little pockets of what you can and can't do. So talk about that. You mentioned the vehicle. Are we talking about a 45-passenger cruiser bus, or what are we talking about?
So we have a couple different options. We do large group tours, and usually folks have to provide their own transportation, and we do sort of a tour guide hops on and directs around. And those are for the 45 bus, the big buses. We also have a 10-person van that we can do. Typically right now, we're just doing 4 persons. People usually book as like 2 couples kind of thing. Or we're working with a tour company where they've got like a pacer van. That's the 14-person van. And again, we're just a ride along.
Yeah.
Along with that.
What an intimate experience, though. I mean, for the guests, the odds of you getting your question answered and being heard and all those things are really good when it's a small group like that.
Yeah. And that's what we found last summer, is that people like to talk story and tell their own stories of agriculture and their own connection to it. And that's how we learn to relate, is having our own history and bringing it forward to this new experience. So I've learned a lot about farming in other regions of the United States now. It's an unintended part of it. So we try to keep it a small tour group. And by the end, people feel like family and they don't want to go. And I'm like, okay, I gotta go.
Exchanging contact information
and
becoming friends.
And I've got a lovely tour guide who, she was hired by several people to then show her around the valley because they developed such a great relationship with her.
Very good.
So you get, I think, that insider perspective. And a lot of times that's a huge thing in the Alaska tour industry, is that insider perspective. Because I think people know when the folks aren't from Alaska.
Sure. Well, you get that all the time. If you go on the train or you go some of these Alaska excursions, they're kind of proud to tell you that they're not from Alaska. And it's weird. I'm kind of like, why would you tell people that you're not from Alaska?
Yeah, that's part of the selling point.
Yeah.
So we're just locals who are, you know, want to talk about our community.
And, that's awesome.
And this is, there's scalability to this. So if you're in Delta Junction and listening, or any other community, like the idea is that eventually just a website can be marketable for any tour opportunity that a farm could have. So people aren't reinventing the wheel or having to do the whole marketing piece, that it's just all under that, and you can have your tour operation. So if there's farmers out there listening and they're like, we really want to start something, but maybe you're not in the core area of the Matanuska Valley, you know, just give us a call.
Absolutely.
I'm eminently open to explore opportunities.
And you've worked out a lot of the kinks and the bugs and, mm-hmm. and you know a lot of the stuff. So I'm looking at the clock and I'm shocked at how much time has gone by already. I want to remind folks that you're listening to Ag Matters Radio Wednesday mornings. And my guest this morning is Margaret Adsit from Alaska Farm Tours. Margaret, how can what are the website and contact information? Where can people go to find more?
Sure thing. It's Alaska Farm Tours. Shocking.com. Not shocking. Don't put that in there. So AlaskaFarmTours.com. And you can book online, book directly. Good. If you are an Alaskan and hearing this, we have a sourdough rate where you get 20% off. You just have to type in the promo code sourdough when you're booking.
Very good.
And you get the 20% off, right?
Well, that was going to be one of my questions. Do you recommend this tour for locals? Is it designed for outsiders only? What are your comments?
No,
there?
You know, I've been fascinated by how many locals I do have, and I think it's a different side of your community.
Absolutely.
That you're not seeing. And so actually half the folks that I had last year were Anchorageites who'd come out or folks from Willow who are like, I've lived here my whole life. I've never stepped foot on a farm.
That's great.
And so that's a huge part of our market too. So it's not just out of state. And so we do have that. There's a kids rate, which is $45. In-state or out-of-state guests are $95.
Okay.
Or if you're friends and family of an Alaskan, that's also the 20% off, nice. Which is $75.
Yeah.
And that includes your lunch and everything, the whole...
That's an incredible rate.
Yeah, kit and caboodle.
Yeah.
And we do profit sharing with all of the farms.
What does that mean?
Please note the profit sharing. Profit sharing means that we're tracking how many folks are visiting an individual farm. So let's say APU gets 90 visitors for the whole summer.
Okay.
And at the end of the year, the profits left over, they get the portion based on how many people they had.
Okay.
So if you have a pool of $10,000 and it's split by how many guests that you had on your farm.
That's great.
And we did that because for a startup business, it's much more economical for me instead of having a price per head to have that.
Sure.
That profit sharing model. And that means the more successful Alaska Farm Tours is, the more successful the farms are.
Right. The larger the
everybody wins. Yeah. Kind of thing.
So when I go on Alaska Farm Tours website and I'm looking at the different farm options, do I get to self-select which farms I want to go to? Can I pick out of that group?
That's a call to pick sort of thing. And usually I talk to folks if they have something that varies. We don't guarantee anything until 24 hours beforehand.
Okay.
Because we give the farmers 48 hours to sort of say, yeah, we can't have folks on our farm. It's just not a good day.
Sure.
And we give that option because sometimes you have harvest days or sometimes you're spreading manure and you don't really want someone on the farm that day. You know, all sorts of situations. So they're given that advance notice. So I don't guarantee until the day of
that's
to folks.
Another real benefit to having you be involved and you be someone that understands agriculture, because I can assure you that the big tour companies would not give the farmers that benefit. Mm-hmm. They'd show up one way or the other, right?
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, we want to be flexible. And their number one thing is to own a farm and they're operating a farm. And this is just an additional thing that they're doing. And so I don't want to take away from that primary goal of getting product out to consumers.
Very good. I love it. I'm ashamed to say that I haven't been on the tour yet. I was scheduled to go last year and had some sort of family incident, but I'm going to make it happen this year because although I think I've been to most of the farms that you go to, I haven't seen this side of it, you know, and I'm excited to be a part of it.
Well, we'll be happy to have you.
Yeah. When do you guys launch?
We are starting June 15th this year. I made the mistake last year of starting June 1st, and I was like, here is... View the beautiful soil.
Not as much to see.
Most farmers have a lot in the ground by June 15th.
Sure.
And things are starting to green up. And we extend to September 15th because, you know, first hard frost is about September 17th. And then farmers are like, oh, don't come. It's too ugly.
Sure.
After that first hard frost.
Yeah.
And the tour industry died down a lot. But you'd be surprised. Then we are getting a lot of... Like, I've got a big booking for folks who are coming up for a conference.
Oh.
So that's another option, is if folks are having a conference or the like, and this is like a one-off thing that people can do as a day add-on trip.
Yeah.
So.
family gathering, family reunion, if you need something to do with wedding guests before the wedding or something like that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And we can make arrangements. And we operate on Monday, Wednesday, and Thursday to accommodate farm schedules again. Friday is usually harvest day.
Sure.
Nobody wants folks around on harvest day. So we do that. However, you know, if you've got a weekend day open, we can make that happen too. Just give us a call. But online, you can only book for Monday, Wednesday, and Thursday. And then everything else is by appointment.
Okay. Very good.
We can make it happen.
Yeah. What a cool opportunity that is for people here in the Valley. I'm thrilled that you guys are around and that it's worked well enough the first 2 years. Or this is the second full
this
year?
This is the second full year.
So very, very good. So what else? Like, are you looking for more farms? If there is a farmer listening that wants to be on your loop?
We always will incorporate more farms into what we do. I think that just enriches the story of Alaska agriculture and what we're trying to show folks, which is Alaska agriculture is incredibly diverse.
Yeah.
No two farms are the same. They are all their own snowflake.
Right. Like, it's big time.
And that is a huge takeaway from going from one farm to the next. They're like, they're so different, but they're selling the same product. How is that possible?
Yeah.
And that's what makes Alaska so cool. So if there's farms out there that they're like, hey, we want to sort of start this, I'm always open.
I can imagine that some people would hear that and they would think, oh, my farm's not neat enough, or it's not pretty enough, or it's not
not a requirement. Yeah, not a requirement. The only requirement I have is that we walk around where folks are going to be walking, just to make sure there's not giant potholes or things.
Barbed wire.
Yes, because I'm fully insured, you know, but. Yeah. You know, within reason.
Yeah.
and so we make sure it's a clean, clear path for people to walk. So that's, don't worry about how your farm looks. Like, be who you are. And that's the conversation that we have, is like, we want to give them the authentic Alaskan experience.
Sure.
I think it's not a real thing if you go to a farm and it's too shiny and you're like, this isn't who the farm is. Or
how are you actually making a living?
That's not realistic.
Yeah. And the good news is that the tourism industry is going strong, right? I just heard a report that last year was like close to 2 million visitors.
Yeah, 1.8 million.
That's incredible.
So, yeah, this is something, you know, as we're looking forward into the Alaskan economy, I think any time we can open up more tourist opportunities, give unique experiences, we're providing more to an international consumer base.
Absolutely. I love it. Margaret, our time is up already.
I know.
Isn't that crazy? Thank you so much for joining me on Ag Matters this morning.
Thank you so much for having me, Amy.
I can't wait to go on my Alaska Farm Tours tour.